Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
I'm Don McGuire with being joined by Barry Frost. We just had Vinny Pezzienza on the line. Bear with me. We're going to try to get him back on right now. Evidently, the call dropped, but we'll get him back on. Hopefully.
I should say we will.
I can answer. We were just talking to him.
You have reached the voicemail box of 401.
Well, that was kind of strange. I mean, Barry, we'll give him a second here, but we just had him on the phone. We were just talking with him. I'm not sure quite what happened.
Yeah, phone dropped, signal, something.
Yeah, maybe he was driving, went around a corner. We'll go ahead and try to give him a call back right now. I apologize to my listeners. I can't deal with this.
Is this Dandy Don?
Hey, what's up, buddy? I'm glad you scared me for a moment there. Ladies and gentlemen.
You know what, Don? My phone just shut off.
Oh, well, I'm glad. Hey, you know what, Vinny? I'm glad we got you back on. Ladies and gentlemen, five-time world champion, the Paz, Vinny Pazienza. Vinny, how's it going, my friend?
Well, it's the Pazmanian Devil, and it's just Vinny Paz. Changed 19 years ago. I literally, my legal name is Vinny Paz.
Vinny Paz. I love that because you truly are the Pazmanian Devil. You know, when you look at the world of the sweet science, there's not very many fighters that accrued the record that you did. And actually, you know, you look out there, people say it's in two different weight classes, and theoretically it's three different weight classes.
Three different weight classes. Yeah, it's crazy. My life was so crazy. I was really blessed and fortunate to do what I did. I was good, but you know, you got to have blessings to go along with being good. And I don't know, somebody was looking over me.
Oh, most definitely somebody was looking over you. Well, Vinny, my show is kind of a show that does past, present, and future. Going to kind of take you from side to side, place to place. You know, what was life growing up for Vinny Paz, the Pazmanian Devil? What was life before the sweet science?
Well, I that's a question that I cannot answer because my whole life was built around boxing. I fell in love with this guy called Muhammad Ali when I was 5 years old. 5 years old. And that was it. He, like, orchestrated my life. I wanted to be like him. You know, that's why I was kind of a little bit of a loud mouth, just a little bit. I never stayed down. He never stayed down. He never got knocked out. I never got knocked out. And I tried to emulate my life after that guy. I really did.
You know, that's tremendous because we just had Paul Vaden on. And the reason he was into the sweet science was because of Muhammad Ali. You know,
How's Paul Vaden doing? How's he doing?
Oh, he's doing terrific. We scheduled him for a 45-minute show, and we ended up going an hour and a half. I mean, the guy is just tremendous. But, you know,
yeah, cool.
Vinny, we want to look at your career. You know, you step into the sport, and, you know, you've made a tremendous impact from the very, you know, very early days of stepping into the sport. What does it truly mean to you to step between the ropes come fight night, Vinny? And I know that's a hypothetical and theoretical question.
Yeah. But you know what? I just look at it like looking back, it's just like, wow. I can't believe I did all that. I can't believe I did what I did. I really can't. I look back and go, holy sh! I do, like, literally right now I'm drinking a coffee. I'm having a couple of peanut M&Ms. Don't tell anybody that. And I'm going, I'm like, after I do the interview with you, I'm going to go down in my cell and do a little workout. I'm still fast. I shadow box.
Did we lose him again? Yeah, evidently we lost him again. Let's see if we can get him back on.
You might have to sit next to a phone charger.
Right? Something. We'll see if we get him right back on. But at least we know he's willing to do the show. We can just keep him on here. You know, that's the lovely thing of live radio. This happens, it occurs.
You have reached the voicemail box of 4013.
I don't want the Vinny Paz man name out there. You know, we're going to get him back here in a second, you know, hopefully. Barry, when you hear him speak about, you know, he really couldn't give a story of why he, you know, what his childhood was like. I mean, it's just like Paul Vaden, you know, they talk about Muhammad Ali. You know, I think if it wasn't for Muhammad Ali, I don't think the sport would be where it's at. You know, I'm going to try to go ahead and give him a call one more time and see if we can get him back on here. I don't know what is up with his phone.
You have reached the voicemail box of 401.
That kind of sucks, you know, but, you know, the show must go on. We're live radio. We'll give him a call back here in a second. You know, Barry, when you look at, I don't even know what to call him since he legally changed his name 19 years ago to Vinny Paz, the Pazmanian Devil. When you look at aspects like that, we'll give him a few minutes just to let his phone charge because I know that's exactly what happened knowing Vinny. But we'll get him back on here. What does it mean to you seeing these, time after time, these legends in the sport giving all their credit to Muhammad Ali?
The influence that he had, not just over, you know, boxing, but, you know, society in general, you know, speaks volumes. And if you, you know, you went down a list of, you know, fighters, I would say you're talking 80, 90, you know, percent probably got into it because of him. But I would say 100% has borrowed, stole, you know, they've taken something from Muhammad Ali and the way he carried himself as a true champion and a gentleman.
I have to agree with you there. Let's go ahead and try to give Vinny a call again. Maybe his phone's restarted by now. Come on, Vinny. What the hell?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. They're just like Sprint. I can hear you now.
Oh, man.
Awesome. You know,
I was talking and I wasn't even on with you. I was talking to myself.
Right. The reason we kind of asked you that question, you know, was because I want to take you back to a time you had to relinquish the title due to a serious car accident in which you broke your neck. How devastating was that to you, knowing what you've created to that point, sir?
No, it was the worst day of my life, without a doubt. And you know, I was so excited. I just won the junior middleweight championship of the world, you know, days earlier, and then I break my neck in a car accident. It was incredible for me, and I just kept the faith and believed in myself. I was hoping a higher power was watching over me, and And I got lucky, you know, worked hard, but I got lucky and made a good comeback.
You certainly did. I'm going to toss the mic over to Barry and let him ask you a few questions, champ. Barry?
Hey, Barry.
Hey, Vinny. How are you, sir?
Pretty good, pretty good. I've been better, but I've been much worse.
Absolutely. Don had talked to you about, you know, growing up as a kid, and, you know, you had mentioned your love for the sport at an early age. I had read that you used to invite your friends over, and they weren't allowed to leave until they boxed you. Is that true?
Yes, yeah, which is why I grew up with not many friends. Very true.
Go ahead, sir.
He answered you. He said very true, Barry.
Oh, sorry, Barry.
Yep. Yes, yes. Can you hear me? The phone, I think, is a little messed up. I don't think we have a good connection.
Oh, yeah, I
can
hear
you.
I'm good now. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so moving on from that, you know, you decided to, turn pro in 83, I believe, after
yes.
a storied amateur career.
And yes, yes.
Being from such a small place, you know, Cranston, Rhode Island, and you're
yep.
building up this, you know, this huge winning record, and then you get into, the first big name, I guess, as Joe Frazier Jr., Hector Frazier.
Yeah, yes. Huge fight. It was a huge fight.
and that drew over 13,000 people. And
yeah,
I believe Lou Duva even mentioned that the gross gate was over like $220,000 for
yep.
a fight with non-televised, non-titled,
yep.
and
yep.
two unranked fighters, and you outsold a middleweight title fight. I mean,
there actually was around 15,000 people in that. They squeezed in that Civic Center.
And they had mentioned that your take of that was $7,500.
Say that one more time.
They had mentioned that your purse for that fight was around $7,500 as an up and coming
yeah.
fighter.
Yep.
Out of a $220,000 plus gate, kind of seems like a little low. You know, I'll say a little low.
you think?
just a tad. But what I noticed as you look back on your career is a lot of these fighters, even nowadays, they have to load the undercard. Looking at
yeah.
your build, there's really no other name on your card, and they're all sellouts. How did you come to realize at such an early stage in your career the marketing aspect of your name, you know, of Vinny Paz?
I'm gonna tell you this, and this will wrap it up real quick. I fell in love with a guy when I was 5 years old. I just loved this guy. His name was Muhammad Ali. So I don't need to say nothing more than that to you guys, right?
Right, being the showman, but you had to put your own spin on it, your own personal touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how did you, what I was asking was, how did you develop the character? I mean, was that you, but, you know, just turned up a little bit, or...
Yeah, absolutely. It was me just turned up a little bit. Yeah, absolutely. It was me turned up a little bit. And, you know, some people liked it. Some people hated it. And some people just paid attention because of it. And, you know, that's what I was trying to do. It's like Muhammad Ali, the way he fought and the way he acted. People wanted to see him get beat. People loved him and wanted to see him win, but everybody tuned in just because the way he was so amped up.
Absolutely.
You know.
Go ahead, Don.
Vinny, I kind of want to take you back to November 1984 again in a fight against Bruno Simili. You know, that was truly one of the first fights, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, sir, but that was truly one of the first fights in your career that you truly went against a veteran. What did Vinny Paz take away from that experience, finally getting the opportunity to face somebody of that caliber?
I just thought that I was really good, and I was coming up, and I was coming up strong, and I was putting the heat on everybody, and I wanted to win a world title, and nobody named Bruno Simili was going to stop me from getting to where I was going. That's just how I felt.
You know, Vinny, the sport is a tremendous attribute. You know, I'm 53 years old, and I love the sport. We talk about it with all the former world champions.
Cool.
We used to love, you know, Sundays, Wide World of Sports, Howard Cosell.
Absolutely, absolutely. The guy, the skier falling off the long jump.
Yeah, right? You know.
Yeah.
And those are days that will forever be embedded in our souls. That's why me and Barry, we do this show worldwide for the legends in the sport, because we don't think it's done quite a bit. When, you know, you look at the sport and all that you accrued, you know, what was it like in the early days, the young days? How hard was it for an up-and-coming fighter like yourself to get the proper training, get the proper gym? What was it like in the experiences of Vinny Paz?
You know, Don, I feel like everything's hard. You know, nothing's easy. You just try to make it easy. You try to make it look easy. You try to make it feel easy. You try to make it work easy. But everything's hard. You know, and that's just life. That's life. Life in general. Life is hard. The boxing's tough, and fucking life is harder, you know, and that's just how it goes. You've got to be a strong individual in everything. I tell people all the time, my favorite two words, stay strong, or you're going to go down, and, you know, that's life.
Yeah. You know, and I have to agree with you, you know. I kind of want to jump a little ahead from 1984 to 1987. You face Greg Haugen for the IBF World Lightweight title. You know, it's a fight that went to a unanimous decision. What do you feel that in the life of Vinny Paz that you took away from that fight? Because up until that point, it was knockout, knockout, knockout. You were just dominating opponents. What did you feel that Vinny Paz, even though you won, what do you feel that you needed to work on, champ?
15 rounds, it was brutal. When I tell you 15 rounds is like running a marathon and getting hit in the face every half a mile, like smashed with a big shot. That's how I look at a 15-round fight, running a marathon and getting smashed with a hammer punch every mile. It was incredible for me. My first world title, you know, I thought I found God. I thought, you know, life couldn't get any better. And that was basically it, Don. I swear, I thought everything was, when I won that first world title, I found God. I found God. The angels came down, and I soon realized shortly after that, no, I didn't find God. I just won a world title. That's about it. Life's still crazy. My life is still hard. It's a little easier now, but still hard. And then you got to even train harder to make that last, to keep on, to hold on to that belt. You got to work even harder. So it was a cool period in my life.
Yeah, you know, your whole career is a testament. You, like I said earlier, you look at, there's not very many fighters that have won as many fights as you, you know. And I'll tell the story again, even though my listeners have heard it, you know, with Paul Vaden. You know, when he brought up Muhammad Ali like you did, and I feel it's only instinct to bring it up, you know, I actually got to meet Muhammad Ali. I I got a book in the Muslims room. But, you know, it was a tremendous moment in my life. And when I lost you on the phone line, me and Barry were kind of talking about this, you know, probably 8 out of every 10 fighters that have been world champions that come on the show attribute who they are to Muhammad Ali. What was it about the man for you, Vinny? When you sit back and you just think about it, what was it about the man himself?
I liked the way he talked. I liked the way he talked, Don. I loved the way he talked. I loved that he always won. I loved that he would never stay down. I just loved everything about him. He was even good looking too. I loved that about him. He was the man. You know, I loved him. I went to his funeral in Kentucky. And I cried my eyes out the whole way through.
Yeah, he's a tremendous man. You know, when I met him, he had this aura about him that, you know, people just, I don't think they really understand, but you'll understand this, Vinny. He had this aura about him that when you were near him, you truly felt his presence.
No question.
No words needed to be said, nothing. It was just like, you know, breathtaking. You know, the sport has been tremendous to you, and Barry's a little guru over there in the corner, so I'm going to throw Barry back on the mic and let him ask you a couple more questions, because I know Barry loves his sport, and he's full of knowledge. Barry?
Cool.
Yeah, we just finished up talking about, you know, your victory over Joe Frazier Jr., and in your next fight, you really had a big step up in class. I'm from Ohio, so, you know, like the Mancinis and Aaron Pryors and guys like that. But one of the overlooked guys was Harry Arroyo.
Yeah, totally. Real good fighter.
Former champ. Yeah.
Real good fighter, yeah.
Yeah,
he could hit, he could punch, yeah.
Came straight forward.
Yep.
So heading into that fight, you know, he had lost the title just recently, and – you know, heading into that fight, were you worried about anything? Was there anything you were cautious of getting ready to face Harry?
You know, when you're a good fighter, when you're a good fighter, and you got heart, you got balls, you still always worry about every single fight you're in, no matter who it is. And that's the God's honest truth. And if guys won't tell you that, you know, they're lying. They're pulling one over on you. You worry about everyone because you never know what can happen. You can get a shot, a knockout punch out of the clear blue. You could get even worse, a headbutt, you know, get cut tremendously bad. You never know what can happen. You break a hand. You got to be lucky. You got to be lucky and fortunate to come out of fights alive and winning. And, you know, that was just my take and what I thought about just about every fight. You need a little bit of luck. You need a lot of skill, a lot of hard work, and a little bit of luck.
Your trainer, Kevin Rooney, you know.
Loved him.
So give us kind of a story of Kevin that, you know, we haven't heard. A good story with you and Kevin.
Kevin was the best. You know, he came and lived with me for a month and a half before each fight. He was, my bedroom was upstairs, his was downstairs. He would go and walk down to Cumberland Farms, 7-Eleven at the end of the street, and get himself two papers, the Providence Journal and the USA Today. He'd read two papers every day. Didn't drink for a month and a half, and the night of the fights, especially when I won, he got bombed. But he was the best. I love that guy, man. He was the greatest. I miss him so much. I miss two people, Kevin Rooney and my father.
Yeah,
absolutely. Now, you know. Heading into your fight with Hogan, the first one, Haugen was always known to kind of talk a little trash and get people going as well. So kind of take us back to the buildup of the first fight with Haugen and kind of the buildup to that and the kind of the actual the hatred of, you know, between you two, that there was actual animosity and it wasn't like just a put on to sell tickets.
Oh, are you kidding me? I still hate that fucker. I hate that kid. Oh, my God. I hate that kid. I want to choke him out every day. I beat him 2 out of 3 fights. He cried like a bitch both fights that I won. When he won, when he beat me, I congratulated him, said, "You're a better man than me. You deserve to win. Congratulations." That fucking little bitch, like, was a little biatch, like, every time he lost. You know, like, if you're going to fight and you're going to win like a man, lose like a man. I hate that kid.
So he's definitely not getting a Christmas.
No, I haven't
seen this card for Vinny. Hell no. Oh, my God.
Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah. So, you know, you won 144-141. It was a 15-round fight, like you said. It was, you know, it's like a marathon, and you're getting hit the whole way.
Yep.
What was your preparation for the 15-round fights compared to the fights? Did you know you could go a little harder sooner, or, you know, did you kind of ease back, you know, and hold off and wait for the later rounds, which you took the last 3 rounds, the championship
rounds
of that fight?
That's how I won the fight. If the fight was only a 12-round fight like it is today, he would have won.
Yeah. See, I like that aspect because, you know, you go back to Steve Forbes, you go back to Paul Vaden, and these are gentlemen that like to take the fights into the latter parts of the rounds. They felt that they did better. They were more of an adequate combatant in the later rounds. Is that how you felt, Vinny? To, you know, as leading off of what Barry said, you know, to kind of go a little bit slower, and then as the rounds go on, give more and more pressure, more and more, you know, capabilities of what you're in for.
All right, can I make a little joke here?
Yeah.
What the fuck is an adequate combatant?
Yes.
All right. Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's move on.
All right.
Okay. Answer to the question. You fucked me up with adequate combatant.
Sorry, bro. You killing me, dog. Did you feel it was, you know, a better part of you to wait until the later rounds to give what you're capable of? I mean, Paul Vaden, Steve Forbes, a lot of fighters seem to feel that they fought better in the later rounds. Did you feel that way, Vinny?
Yeah, I did. Because I trained really hard, and I loved the 15-round fights. It was 15-round fights are brutal, man. It's brutal. You get brutal training, brutal fight, and I loved it. You know, I hated to see it go, but that's what happens. Things change.
Sometimes, man, my schooling comes out of me. I got my master's in engineering science, so sometimes I get a little bit too articulated. But, you know, we could take that funny part and we can turn it into a guest star that you had on a TV series called Police Academy. What was that experience
totally.
Like for you, Vinny?
Yeah, it was cool. It was actually a really good experience because I went to Vancouver, Canada, for the first time and last time in my life, and Vancouver, Canada was the most gorgeous looking place I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of places. Vancouver, Canada was simply amazing. I look out my window of my hotel, and I would see beautiful, clean city. It was like New York City, but clean, clean. And then right over that, I would see mountains and water. It was so crazy. It was so beautiful. I couldn't believe it. Like, honest to Christ, I was just amazed. I woke up every day and just stared out the window for an hour. Just in amazement. It was beautiful, Vancouver. And it was fun filming the movie. But I'm like sick of TV now. I've had more opportunities, you know, to do the TV shit. I could have had a reality show on me and stuff, but I'm not like into the whole process of TV anymore.
You know, but since we did make light of how I articulated that sentence, I'm going to take you back on one more television show before we move forward with the fighting aspect of the show, because it plays along that line. You were also a security guard on Jerry Springer. How did that feel for Vinny Paz to be a security guard on the Jerry Springer show? Were you
an adequate combatant then? listen to this one. You guys are going to crack up. Some kid was like they were starting to get in a fight. So, you know, they told me not to let them go at it, not to let them get in a fight. Don't let anybody get hurt. So I literally ran at one kid and tackled him, because I was a good football player in high school. I literally tackled him and threw him on the ground and put my shoulder in his chest. And I almost knocked him out. But they came up to me and said, "Vinny, what are you doing? Think you can't do that." I said, "What do you mean? This is what you guys do." He goes, no, this isn't real. This is like, you gotta like go easy. They're going to sue us." And I just got the biggest kick out of that. And I always thought it was set up, that show, but that day I found out.
The day you found out it wasn't. You know, the thing about you, Vinny, is what you've done, like I said earlier in the show, is a tremendous aspect. You know, and we make light of things and we've been joking around. But when it truly comes to the fight itself, you got to rely on your corner. You got to rely on some of the best people, you know. And my thought and theory, being in this business for 23 years now, you know, a fighter should just show up, not have to worry about anything. But you know, I'm sponsored by one of the best cut men in the business, Jacob Stitch Duran. How pertinent was for you back in those days, Vinny, to have one of the best cut men in boxing? Because You were a devastating fighter. You didn't back up from anybody. You were always going forward, and you took a lot of punishment. So how pertinent was for you to have that type of corner, that type of cut man in your backyard?
Yeah, yes, what you're saying is all true. It's very factual, and it's a great thing to have, you know, good people in your corner. It's a great thing. You know, looking back, I was really lucky to have Kevin Rooney. I had a couple of really good cut men, and my dad. I got so lucky to be blessed with a great father, and that made a whole hell of a lot. I don't think I would have won one world title if I didn't have great parents. You know, you just got to be lucky. That's all that is. It's a matter of luck. But I worked hard. You know, you got to bring the luck. And I worked hard, though, to get to where I was. I sweat, bled, and teared many a night to get to where I got to. And that's it. Took it by the balls and ran with it. And it worked out for me. Got lucky. Got to be fortunate. Got to be lucky. Big man's got to be upstairs watching you. And you got to work hard. And that I did that.
Yeah, you truly did. You truly did, champ. Barry?
Yeah, and you just mentioned, you know, your parents being, you know, such phenomenal people to you. Your dad was a former barber, I understand.
Yeah, sort of, but that was a cover-up for the other things that he did.
Right, well, that's fine. You know, the Italian thing, I get it.
I don't know. You know what? Looking, you know, the whole thing, like nationalities and everything, I'm not into nationality, like, at all. Like, the most people I hate right now are Italians. Like, I hang with Irish people. I hang with blacks. And none of them ever bothered me. I've had only problems with Italian people. So, you know, I'm not into, like, nationality name calling, but
right.
I got lucky to have some great people. I got lucky to have, you know, I have great Irishmen in my corner. Kevin Rooney, loved him to death, and had some great cut men. My dad was awesome. No nationality had anything to do with it. He was just a great man, and I got very lucky.
That's what I was getting at, Vinny, was, is that where you picked up your work ethic? Because you was from your parents. You because a lot of people, talent, everybody has talent, but, people throw it away every day. So
yes.
did you pick your work ethic up from your parents is what I was getting at.
You know, I must have it. You know, it came from somewhere. Like I told you, I watched Muhammad Ali when I was a kid, and I always saw him work hard. My father was such a big man in so many different ways. I watched him go out and make money every day. Every day I watched him, and I watched him how he would hustle, how he like didn't drink and wake up early the next morning and get out on the road and go do it. Nights that he did drink, nights that he gambled and lost, he'd get up early the next day and would go out and make money. He was just, I guess I gathered all that whole life experience and just threw it in the barrel with me, and it just turned out, that I just did it. That's just what I did, and I worked hard and I made it happen. You know, I do a lot of motivational speeches here, there, everywhere, and I always say there's four reasons why I won 5 world titles. Persistence and determination, those two things you gotta have. It's a must. It's a must, and you got to work hard, and you can't quit. 4 reasons why I won 5 world titles.
And along the way, you met a Hall of Famer and, one of the all-time greats, Roberto Duran, along the way.
Yep.
Tell us about the experience, because there's not a lot of, guys that do interviews that have actually stepped foot in the ring with Duran. And so kind of give us your take of the 2 fights with Roberto.
Roberto was at one point the baddest man alive. He was a badass. I loved that guy when I was growing up, watching him fight lightweight champion of the world. Then, moving up in it's so crazy. It's almost ironic. He was the first guy in the history of boxing to go from lightweight world champion, and he was the first man to move up and win the junior middleweight championship of the world. The first man in the history of boxing. You know who the second guy was? Yeah, right, me. I end up doing the same thing, which is that to me, that's a phenomenal. Like that, I believe that, that is the way that it is, but so crazy. And then I'm going to fight him. I never thought in a world of life that I would have fought Roberto Duran, but he was knocking people out. He moved up. He was still fighting, and he was 40 years old. But when I tell you, that man hit me harder than anybody even close to hitting me. He hit me harder than anybody. He was a beast. And when they say hands of stone, that's no joke.
I kind of want to touch a little bit.
Go ahead, Don.
I'll let you right back, Barry. I just got one real quick question. You remind me of so many aspects of why you're a champion when I hear you speak, Vinny. You know, was it for you in training and in thought to make your idols your rivals, especially against Roberto Duran? Because, you know, here you were, this young kid, facing one of the greatest men that ever stepped in the ring.
Ever,
and,
yeah.
And then you here you are, you face him, and you beat him. What was that like for you to turn your idol into your rival, and how hard was that?
Well, you're going to like this one. You're going to like this one, Don. It was pretty easy because that fucker had talked so much shit about me. He was a mean dude, man. He was a mean dude for a lot of fights. I don't know if you go back. See, I've like watched him over the years, and he was a mean man. He was a bad dude in the ring, and he was a bad dude out of the ring. He was a mean guy, and he really like started talking shit about me in the first fight, and I couldn't believe it. And I got his respect though, because when he dropped me in the fifth round, and I got up, and after that round was over, I followed him back to his corner, and I was yelling in his face, saying, "I ain't going nowhere, Duran. I ain't going nowhere." And I knew I had him when he shrugged me off with his hand, and he says, "Loco, loco." I said, "Yeah, I got this guy." And then I beat him after that. Pretty amazing, but he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable. Had over 100 wins. He was unbelievable in the world of boxing. And I was glad that I got to fight him and beat him twice. But you know, I don't chalk it up to, you know, nothing extravagant. You know, he was in his 40s. Like I said, he could still hit, like, oh my God. But you know, when he was in his 30s and 20s, that guy was an animal. I got him at the end of the line, so you know, lucky for me, because he was a beast. We would have had, it would have been a good fight, me and him in our primes. But I don't make too much out of it. I'm happy I won both fights, but you know, I don't take it. It's not my holy grail. I like every one of the world titles that I won, and I beat him for a world title. But I'll take every one of the title fights before I'll brag about them, but I won't brag about beating Roberto Duran.
That's a true honor to you, and I respect you for that. You know, Barry?
Yeah, see, and that's kind of what I was going to touch on is, you know, you say that he was at the, you know, the tell and whatnot, but, you know, like I said, it's Roberto Duran. He was supposed to be done after the first Ray Leonard fight. And then
he comes back
and stops, you know, he stops Davey Moore. Then he gets
That was unbelievable. I was at that fight. I was at there live in New York. I was like in the third row. And that's where Lou Duva took me to see the fight, because he was trying to get me out of the amateurs and sign with him. Crazy, man. I was at that fight live. I can't believe it. And then I end up being the next guy to do that. How crazy is that?
Right. And
15 years later.
On the undercard of that was also Louis Resto and Billy Collins.
Absolutely.
Where Panama took the padding out of the gloves.
Yep.
But, you know, then, you know, he's supposed to be done after, you know, after Hearns knocks him out. Then he beats Iran Barkley.
Yeah, he was an animal. He was a beast. I was with Iran a couple of weeks ago. Iran's doing good.
Yeah, we had Iran on, and we talked about it, and, you know, he was always gracious. He's a great guy. But then it's like he's done again, but then he goes on like a 7-fight win streak and then runs into you. So, I mean, I give it more credit than what, you know, I understand, but I give it a lot more credit than you're giving it, because just of his past, you know, his past kind of history is people wrote him off many a times, and he
Just like you have.
So much respect, sir.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, well, but you know, that, you know, your car wreck and your comeback. Now you come back one day before your birthday.
Crazy.
You know, what's going through your mind knowing, like, hey, I'm coming off of a broken neck. I've been out of the ring for a year and a half. What, you know, like, what concerns did you have, if any? Because, I mean, like you said, you got
I was ready.
Strapped on. Yeah.
I had absolutely. I know what you're saying, and it's right on the money. You got to have balls to do it, and I just thought I was ready, and nothing was going to happen. You know, fingers crossed, nothing was going to happen. Fingers crossed, but right. You know, I did it, and it worked out pretty good for me.
Yeah. Now, a couple fights after that, you move on, and you step right back into the fire against Lloyd Hunnigan, who was like 41-3, former champion.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah. Good fighter.
The real deal. Yeah. And you just took him apart. I mean,
I demolished him.
Is that the fight where you were like, I'm back? Like, you kind of proved to yourself, like, you can handle, you know, the top guys again.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, when you want to put it like that. Yeah.
Well, sorry, you know. Sorry for doing that, Ben.
No. You're right, though. Yeah, you're right.
And so then let's kind of, you know, move on to the Devil and Mr. Jones, as it was built.
Right, right. Yep.
You against Roy, and you moved up in weight for – I'm guessing it was a substantial payday fighting Roy.
Yeah, definitely.
On paper,
yeah.
At that time, because he was king and all that. Take us back to, you know, the build up for the fight against.
I knew Roy Jones was unbelievable and amazing. He went on to win the freaking world heavyweight championship after me. Where do I go? I'm 5'7" on a good hair day, but that wouldn't happen. Like, the only thing that bothers me about that fight, I hate, no one ever stopped me, nothing got me to not continue. I hate that, and I knew, like, they screwed me over pretty good when they told me when the fight was going to happen. You know, his people were putting on the fight. So I asked them after the weigh-in, I said, hey, listen, can you please tell me, you know, give me a half hour, you know, each way, what time am I going to fight him? And because I take, you know, coffee, caffeine, you know, the pills that get you charged up, you know, all legal, all within the parameters, but I wanted to know when I take these pills, when I drink this coffee. So I asked them, and they tell me, we're going to fight between 9 and 9:30. I said, okay, great. So at 8:30, I start getting jacked up. I'm ready to go. At 9:15, I'm sweating. I'm in the back. I'm shadow boxing, ready to go, you know, thinking I'm going to fight soon. They come in. They wake me up at midnight and say, all right, Vinny, let's go. We're going to go. Let's go. My father, champ, let's go. We got to get it on. And I was like, oh, my God, I am so dead. I'm so dead. I'm fighting this guy who happens to be the greatest fighter in the world at the time. And I was shot, you know, because after you come down off a caffeine high, you lose the electrolytes, you know, you lose potassium. You're just not the same. And he was so fast and so long, you know, that's how I wrapped that fight up. And he, you know, I hated that the ref stopped it because I would have kept going. You know, I would have went the whole marathon, but they didn't let me.
You definitely was. You kept getting up, and you know that shows the heart of a warrior. But then I'm going to ask you about this fight, and then Don can, you know, come back on. But you know, and here's where you're kind of rode off. He's Don. You know, he's on the downside. You know.
Right, and again, so, again, yes,
right.
Again, yeah.
So now you take it upon yourself to schedule, and I'm doing quotations right here, the Jewish Rocky Marciano, Dana.
Exactly, exactly.
And he's undefeated at the time. He's on the rise, and so take us to that fight.
you're so far you're doing a great job. You are right about everything. and then he starts talking down to me like I'm a stepping stone for him. I'm like, what are you talking about? Wait a minute, kid. I just picked you. You didn't pick me, pal. I picked you. And you know, I knocked him out in the fourth round. And, you know, he thinks he's a better fighter than me. There's no shot in hell. There's no shot in Jewish hell. There's no shot in Italian hell. There's no shot, period. Like, see, that fight, I knock him out in the fourth round. And then in another fight that I had with him that people don't know about that was in Foxwoods on, I think it was on USA Tuesday Night Fights. But a lot of people didn't know about this. Or didn't care either. It was cool when I knocked him out, but this fight was another fight. The second fight, he wanted it to, you know, get redeemed. I broke my goddamn hand. I broke my right hand 3 weeks before the fight. I'm like, don't worry about it. I'm still gonna beat the bastard, and I fought with that, and I beat him. And I beat him. I beat him probably by 3 or 4 rounds. And I didn't knock him out because of the hand was killing me. I didn't think it would be like that bad. It's killing me. And I didn't knock him out because of that. So his promoter put on the fight. His promoter flew in with two of the judges. Oh, it's just ironic. It's just so coincidental that the two judges that flew in with his promoter gave him the fight. The other judge gave me the fight by 4 rounds. Okay, so that's it. Yeah, you're a real better fighter than me, Dana. Go suck fucking bagels, bitch. That's just how I feel. That's all.
Hey, that's what the show's about. You know, it's the right for you to express your stories, you know, because
yeah,
this is the way life should be, you know. And that's one thing I love about my show compared to others. The Fighters named it The Fighter's Voice because, for one, you know, everybody sees what they see on social media. Everybody sees what they see on television. But, you know, a fighter truly never gets to express their side of the story or how they feel about things in life. And that's why I do this show. You know,
but on your show, Dandy Don, we can speak however we feel. That's the beautiful thing about this show.
Yes, exactly. You know, and it's tremendous that I found in King Barry over there, you know, since James Toney wanted to give him the better name, you know, I think I found a tremendous attribute. Wouldn't you say? I mean, you look at, you know, Barry, a young man of 35 years old, but he knows so much about the sweet science, and that's a tribute. And that's a tribute to, you know, the younger generation coming up. You know, we still love the aspect of what boxing is. You know, boxing isn't a sport. It's an American way. You know, Vinny, I kind of want to take you to a dark moment in your life, if you don't mind.
Dandy,
you know,
Dandy Don, can I ask you one question?
Yes, sir.
One question. What's that word you used, attribute? What does that mean? Jeez, you're a fucking big talker, man.
That's it.
You got a lot of big words.
Wow. I'm Irish and Indian, and
like rodeo
I've been doing
scholar.
This radio show for a while now, and so it's kind of like
attribute. I think that means does that mean somebody's butt has a bad somebody's butt is not good, or they got a great butt, they got a great ass? Is that what attribute means?
That's an asset.
You're giving.
Oh, that's right. That's an asset.
Ezra, Barry loves this because you're giving him ammunition to pick on me later when we're not on the air.
Give it to him, Barry.
Oh, trust me, he will. I'll hear about this for weeks. Hey, Barry, who was it that we had on the show, bro? And he thanked you, but couldn't even remember the name of the show or my name. Who was that?
I can't remember. Edgerton Marcus from Canada. He was.
You know what? Hey, wait a minute. Wasn't that guy a super middleweight?
Yeah.
I was going to fight him one time. I'm pretty sure I was going to fight him.
He was from Canada. Yeah.
Wow.
He couldn't even remember the name of the show.
He was a big fan of me. He couldn't remember Don because Don kept using big words.
Fucking Don.
Y'all are busting my balls on my own show. But seriously, champ, I kind of want to take it back, the show back on a serious note here for a second. I've lost my leg. You don't know this in life, but I'm an amputee. So I know what it is to sit back in a dark moment and realize that, oh, holy shit.
God, you sure do. Fuck.
You know.
My sympathies and respect to you.
Oh, no problem, brother, because you know what? I didn't start living until after I lost my leg. You know, it was actually a blessing. You know, I'll be honest with you. And that's where I kind of want to take you, champ. You know, you're sitting in the hospital. You know, you got this halo. You know, you're in one of your darkest moments because you don't know for sure if you have a career. What thoughts were going through the head of the Tasmanian devil?
Yeah, it was ugly. You know what it's like. You've been through, after what you just told me, You've been through the same experience. You know what's gonna happen. You know, am I doing the right thing? Is this gonna work out? You know, but you just do it. You do it the best you can, and you know, you hope for a good outcome. That's it. You know, you move on. You know what it's like after you tell me that. What happened to you? Holy mackerel!
You know, it's a long story, but you know, I'll tell it real quick, and most of my listeners have heard it. And, you know, I lived that dark moment, you know, and I held a gun in my head because I thought my life was over. But
of course,
I realized it wasn't. I realized it wasn't.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, like you said,
I had the same feelings, bro.
And it changes us. And it makes us a better person. Would you say that the better half of the Tasmanian Devil's career came from heart after that injury and revealing the true man that you are today?
I would think so. Yeah, I would absolutely think that. Yeah. I think it was the best period of my life after that happened.
Yeah. You know, it's our darkest moments that make us feel we're the best or show us the greatest growth. And, you know, there was a 2016 film, Bleed for This, based on your incident and this and that. How much did that mean to you, Vinny, to have your story portrayed because you had meant that much to the public, that much to the sport, that much to everybody just in general?
I minimize everything. But I just thought it was really cool, and I was really happy people were gonna get to see it and get a little bit of maybe can do make a little bit of difference for some people, and they did a really good job with the film. They really did. The movie was really good, and I was happy with it. I was happy with it, and proud, very proud of it. And hopefully, it's done some great things for some great people.
I'm going to ask you one more question, then I'll pass it back to Barry for a couple, and then we'll kind of wrap things up here with you, champ. You know, you go out, you're a public speaker, but yet you go above and beyond that. You go to help the youth. You were just at an event with a good friend of both of ours, Johnny Ortiz, Johnny O, the man with a golden voice, and you did an event for him. What does it mean for the Tasmanian Devil to give back to the future of the sport we all love so much?
Cool is like maybe the number one word in my vocabulary. I just think it's really cool. I think it's really good. I like helping out. I like helping people. And no, that's all. I don't put much emphasis on what I do ever. You know, but it's pretty cool. I'm a lucky guy. I'm a lucky guy. I'm a lucky guy that, you know, people like me, look up to me, you know, like, you know, want to be like me, and like, you know, yeah, it's crazy when I think about that, because, you know, it's cool, but it's crazy. You know, there's a guy that was so great. And what did they do to him? They hung him on a cross. So, you know, I feel like, who the hell am I sometimes when people say things like that? It's pretty cool. That's it. My word again. Pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, I like it. It is pretty cool. But, you know, I listened through this whole interview tonight. And, champ, I really got to say that what I take away from this interview is you really minimize who you are. You really minimize what you've done for the sport. You really minimize your walk. You know, I know in life it's great. It's a great aspect of a human being. You know, not to brag about things and not to showboat or this and that,
yeah,
talk about himself, you know. I always say, you know, it's greater to relish things in your heart than to share them with the world. But I see in you a humble man. I see in you a man with great integrity. You know, we joked around a lot on tonight's show, but when you think about it, you've minimized your life. You know, and sir, I hope you don't mind this, but I idolize you. You know what you've done for the sport. Not
that's
just
nice.
What you've done
that's
for
great.
The sport, what you've done for the kids.
Thank you.
You don't got to thank me, sir. And that's what I'm getting at. Why is it that you're so humble in your walk? Who was it that gave you the intent to remain this tremendous champion that you are?
I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think no, that's cool, and I respect and like what you're saying, and you're on the money. But you know, I don't know. Had great parents. You know, Ali is always a factor in my life, and even he was like the most humble guy when you get him off screen, off TV. You know, he was a very humble guy, and you know, he did a lot for people. People don't know about that side of him, you know, because it was very kept on the down low, because he was always, you know, Muhammad Ali, the man on stage. And I guess I took a little bit from that, and, you know, that's it. My parents were really good people, and you know, I saw my father do a lot for a lot of people. And, you know, I just grew up that way, you know.
I
respect what you said, and it's very nice, and you know, but you know, I can go too, like, you know. But let me see the last thing. Let's see the last thing that happened to me of any significance that was bad was I knocked out this kid in a nightclub, and he like like his girlfriend was talking to me. I didn't know. Nice looking girl, and I was talking to her, and then I guess he comes back from the bathroom and he jumps in between us. And he says, "Hey, what are you doing talking to my girl?" I go, whoa, buddy. Relax, man. I didn't know she was with you. Relax. Just talking to her. Relax. And he keeps going. Yeah, I'll do it. And I'm like, come on, man. Really? You're going to really do this? Come on, stop. And he kept going. I said, let's go in the parking lot now. We go in the parking lot. I knock him out. I hit him with a left hook. I knock him out flat, dead, on the ground. And I walk back into the thing, fight. And my friend says, Vinny, you just got your 51st win. I'm like, come on, let's go in. We're back in the bar, and we're having a drink. He comes back in with a towel over his left eye. And he gets to the bar, and he's sitting with his girlfriend. He looks over at me, and I just said, I said, I told you, I'm sorry. And I said, but I told you. And I bought him a drink, and I bought him another drink after. Now the kid's my best friend. I buy him drinks every time I go out. Imagine he cost me money. Like, I knocked him out, and it cost me money to knock him out.
Oh, I love it. Barry, you got anything, brother?
Yeah, you know, Vinny, we kind of touched on your career and, you know, some of the important aspects of it, not everything. I mean, we'd be here all night. But, you know,
Harry, how can I get this to my PR girl? She's not my PR girl. She's my PR girl. She's my lawyer. She's my agent. She's my right arm. You know, how can I get this to my girl, Zena, and tell her to listen to this? How can I get that to happen?
That's Don's department. I'm just the boxing guy, man.
Okay.
Vinny, what I'll do is I'll text you the link to the show, and if you text me the phone number to whoever you want this to go to, I'll make sure they get it because I archive
absolutely
the shows. So,
cool.
And this show will go into succession again next week on iHeartRadio and Univision. It'll go into a rotation, so I'll get you all that information after the show. Barry?
Okay. Yeah, but what I was going to say is, you know, when we were growing up and, you know, you were in the prime of your career, there was so many boxing marquee buildings, like I said, the Foxwoods, the Blue Horizon, you know, Madison Square Garden, things like that. That
right.
You know, now there's basically like Vegas and
yep.
And sometimes MSG. Like, what's your thoughts on that? Like, kind of not the decline of boxing, but the support, I guess, to where these buildings feel like they can't get enough people in there.
I know what you mean, and I'm hoping that there's a fighter out there named Deontay Wilder. And I'm hoping that he can bring a life back into boxing again, a little stronger than what it has been. You know, because the MMA has kind of took it over a little bit. And, you know, people want to see that. And Dana White's done a great job of publicizing it, which is why it's become so big. You know, it's on TV, it's on cable, you know, it's on pay-per-view. It's taken over boxing a little bit, but whenever boxing is big and flourishes and is on top of the world, it's when there's a great heavyweight champion. And I just think that Dante Wilder is a great heavyweight champion. And he's a cool kid. He's a nice kid. He's a great guy. And you know, he's got the heart of a lion. He can punch like no other. So I'm hoping that he can bring some life back into the game. And I told him this was going to happen to him 2 years before it did. I met him somewhere, and he was so nice, just a great guy. And I told him, I said, you know what, Dante, you're going to be the this whole boxing venue is going to be on your shoulders one day, buddy. You're going to be the champ of the world, and you're going to have to bring boxing back in. You know, I can't believe I hit it on the head. Believe me, because I'm no Houdini. But I call that one, and hopefully he can make some noise and beat Anthony Joshua. That would be great for boxing, and move on to some bigger and better fights. And he's exciting as hell. Like I can't believe he's not even bigger than he is now. It's amazing. He's the WBC heavyweight champion of the world. He's got 37 wins, 36 by knockout. Like, how could you not want to see this guy fight? He's so exciting. So hopefully that's the return of boxing. You know what? Do you guys know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and we had Mark on, Mark Breland. And he, you know, like I said, he's wild, you know, that he is wild. You know,
yeah, I was just with Mark Breland.
Yeah, that always leaves that chance that something could happen. So it's an exciting fight anytime that he fights.
Always. Yeah, he's so exciting.
They said that he's close to signing to fight Tyson Fury over here in the States, which that would be, you know, awesome as well.
Yeah.
But they, you know, let me ask you this question, because I ask it only one other time to another fighter. When you're in the ring with a guy, and I actually heard Ray Mancini say it to Dooku Kim's son, where he said, you know, I only met your father at the press conference, but I know your father better than anyone, because I was with, you know, we were in there together. What's inside of him. Is there anyone that you ever, when in your fighting career, connected like that, where you were like, man, this dude is just taking it, everything, and I'm taking everything he's got, and you just have that bond and connection?
That's funny you say that, and it's so freaking crazy that you say that now. I just talked to, in the last couple of days on Facebook, a kid that I fought years ago, Jeff Bumpus. Jeff the Tasmanian Devil Bumpus, and it was billed as the Tasmanian Devil versus the Pasmanian Devil, and I beat his ass in 10 rounds, but he stayed in there 10 rounds, and I couldn't get him out of there, and I was like, oh, this little motherfucker, like, he won't go, tough as nails, this little white guy, and I'm buddies with him today, I love the kid. He's tough as nails.
And that's awesome, man. And before I give it to Don to close up, it was definitely an honor to talk to you tonight. I had fun. Hopefully you enjoyed talking to me. And the only bad thing about Don losing his leg is he has a Steelers prosthetic. So, boo Steelers. I'm a Giants fan, so I got to say that.
I like it. It's good. Awesome meeting you.
Yes, you too.
Hey,
and
you know,
hopefully sometime we'll get together.
Absolutely.
You know one thing, champ. You know, you're not gonna find a bandwagon guy here. I've been a Steelers fan since 1972. I'm the same way in every sport.
Oh my God, 72. Me and Joe Green.
Yes, sir. You know, that's the young kid in Barry's gonna go ahead and clown on me all he wants. But you know what? I'm proud to rep my black and gold. You know,
that's cool.
Pittsburgh, but I back him 100%. You know, the thing of it is, Vinny.
Absolutely. You know, hey, I love Tom Brady. You know, he's a man. I met him once too. He was so nice. Cool as ice, the kid, and the Patriots can play. They're good.
They're a good team. I won't deny that, but they still don't have as many rings as the Steelers. But you know,
true. There's nothing I can say about that. True.
You know, Vinny, I love that you're a larger than life character. You've portrayed that on television. You've portrayed that in life, and you certainly have demonstrated that in the ring. You know, the sport is a tremendous aspect. You know, you ask a question earlier, you know, and you base it on the sport truly needs a true heavyweight champion, you know, which is funny because we hear that time and time again from Livingstone, Bramble, to others that have been on the show. You know,
Livingstone Bramble. It's funny you mention that name. He was one of the guys that hurt me the most in boxing in a sparring match in New Jersey, in Paterson, New Jersey, right when I turned pro. So I'm boxing this kid, Livingstone Bramble. I didn't know who the hell is he. I didn't know, no big deal. They tell me he's tough. Yeah, okay, he's tough. I was beating the shit out of him, two rounds. Third round, that was back in the day where they had the thumbless gloves. That mother, he freaking, because I was beating him so bad, he thumbed me in the eye, and I went down to a knee. I couldn't see out of both eyes. It was like one of the worst time I've ever got hurt in boxing, and that was it. I got mad at him for a while. We didn't talk for a while. And, you know, now we're friends again. You know, let bygones be bygones. But, yeah, imagine that, though, Livingstone Bramble.
Yeah, he just called me yesterday, actually. He called me to see if I was going to do
something. Tell him when you talk to him again, tell him, say, Vinny Paz is going to let you off the hook, or he might have a flashback and kick your little skinny black ass somewhere in New Jersey another night. So just tell him in Vegas, and then he'll know, because I'm pretty sure he lives in Vegas now.
Yeah, he does. He's
yeah.
He's actually talking about a comeback. You know.
Oh, tell him to fight me, and we'll call it. We'll call the headline. Will be called Thumb in the Eye. Yeah, thumb in the eye, the title of the fight.
I'll mention that to him because, Barry, am I correct? I mean, he said he was looking for a comeback, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's been playing the comeback for the last 15 years or so. It's like Scully's book. I don't know if it's going to happen.
All right.
Scully's book ever going to get finished.
Hey,
I feel like there's nobody at the age of 45 or over that can kick my ass.
I
probably agree with that.
Yeah.
That's just how I look at things.
Well, you know, this show is all, actually, the link is also posted in several boxing groups that are private and this and that. So, you know, I'll pose the question to you guys. You guys hit me up on Facebook on Don McGuire or on at the Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire on Facebook. And, you dispute that, and we'll come back in and we'll do a Q&A with Vinny down the road. You know, Vinny, I want to touch on one more thing before I let you go, you know, tonight, because I know you're just getting your night started and you've been on here for about an hour. And, you know, you're a true blessing, you know, to life and to the sport. What are your thoughts? And because I always said, you know, if I ever got you on the show, this is what I wanted to ask you, because it truly means something to me. Because you care about the aspect of the sport, you care about people in life. What do you feel about, like, organizations like Ring 10, Ring 8? Do you feel that there needs to be more organizations like that, or do you feel that the organizations like that aren't doing enough and are actually, you know, a hindrance to the sport?
You know, it's a great question, and there's not any specific answer to it, because you don't know how people are. Like, you really don't know. Like I told you, I loved Kevin Rooney. You know, I told you, I don't like most people I don't like are Italian people. You just never know how somebody is and who somebody is until you deal with them. And, you know, I'm not so big on all those kind of I'm not even sure what to call them, charities or whatever, but, you know, some of them are great. Some of them are great and do great things, but others of them, you know, they're just, you know, there's always somebody behind the scenes that's just trying to make money and stuff. like right off the bat, I'm thinking the Boxing Hall of Fame. Yeah, Ed Brophy's a good guy. Good guy. But he's all about money, too. You know what I mean? They didn't put me in. I should be in the Boxing Hall of Fame today. I should be in there. You know, not many guys done what I've done. Won 50 pro fights, fought for 20 years, won 5 different world titles. Not too many people done that. Not too many people came back from a broken neck to win world titles. You know, not too many people amused and were adored by millions of people. Like, there are millions of people out there that like me, and I'm surprised myself, but it's all pretty awesome. But still, through all that, that man does not put me in the Hall of Fame. And you know, and maybe there's a couple other people that are around Ed Brophy, but it's all about money. If my movie was bigger, if the two producers didn't screw my movie over like they weren't supposed to, but they did it for other reasons. I don't want to get into that. That's a whole nother story. But if my movie would have been a hit like Mickey Ward's movie was, The Fighter, I'd be in the Boxing Hall of Fame right now, which is such like an absurd, assholistic point of view. But Ed Brophy knows if my movie would have made a big hit, he would have put me in the Hall of Fame because so many people from around the world would have came and seen me. So it's all about money. It's all about money. So because my movie didn't do what it was supposed to do, Ed Brophy don't put me in the Hall of Fame, in the Boxing Hall of Fame, which is sad. Sad for me and for a lot of people too. And that's what I got to say about that. That's the whole, and that's just one organization, you know, and like all these other organizations, you just don't know who you're dealing with. You know, you gotta hope that they're good people, hope that you're doing the right thing, and you gotta get lucky. That's it. I don't want to say much more because, you know, I don't want to throw people into the river, but people can suck. People can suck. They suck a lot, too. A lot of great people out there. A lot of people that suck.
Let me ask you this, Vinny, now that you just mentioned it. Are you the only, like, legit 5-time world champion that's not in the Hall of Fame? Because I can't think. I mean, I'm thinking right now, racking my head. And it's like... I mean, because there's 1,000 organizations out there now with all different letters.
Yep.
But, like,
sure.
the legit titles, like,
yep.
Are you
absolutely
the only five, like, that you're the only one I can think of right now?
Yeah,
yeah.
2 different weight classes, too.
Three, but that's okay.
Well, yeah. Well, no, I told you. Well, I told you 3 in the beginning, but then, you know, I was just looking at something that correlated it back to 2, and I knew it was 3.
Oh, there you go. That's why you messed up, because you correlated it wrongly. Yeah, you correlated it wrongly. Oh, he won 2, not 5. Yeah, he won 3. He was in 3 different weight classes. Yeah, 3 different weight classes, pal. Not 2.
In all fairness, I know, because I even said that at the beginning of the show. I knew it was 3 weight classes, but I'm going off another three weight classes.
Yeah.
Well,
in all fuckness, it was 3 different weight classes.
In all fuckness.
Core
I love it. I'm getting my balls busted by a 5-time world champion. But you know what? Barry's point is so relevant because, you know, Roberto Duran is at 93-10, and then you look at you. You know, and Barry is absolutely right. You know, you know, why is it? You know, and you talk about money and things of this nature, but you know what? And I will use another
Don.
Word.
Everything's about money, Don. Everything's about money. Yeah,
well,
everything's about
sad.
Money. Everything. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's sad because you truly are one of the greatest aspects and one of the greatest fighters ever to step into the ring in the sport, in the art of boxing. You
that's
know,
pretty
many
cool.
Weeks.
That's pretty. That's pretty cool for me to hear somebody say that. That's pretty cool. Yeah,
well,
and that's what keeps me happy. You know that I'm not in the Hall of Fame because there's people out there that think like you think. But you know, Ed Brophy's being a little bit of a biatch, and he should have me in there.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with you. You know, Vinny, we look at the show and we take everything, and you know, like Barry said, we've touched on boxing, we touched on life, we've touched on funny parts. Hell, we even picked on me on tonight's show, which I usually
we didn't pick on you.
Right. Just busting my balls a little bit, but you know, it's.
I think you're correlating that very undistinguishable and very wrongly.
I'm sorry, I'm educated, my man.
It's an atrocity.
Absolutely.
But hey, in all fairness, man, and I could clear this all up in one sentence. You know, I've had to build a brand. I've had to build a label around my name. You know, I'm an active photographer in boxing and in MMA, and I do this. I do three different aspects of the show. So, you know, I try to keep it as professional as possible because, you know, I'm sponsored by some of the greatest sponsors in the sport. And, you know this yourself, Vinny. When you build a label around yourself, you try to be as professional as possible because if I come on here and, you know, I don't get a good show or I don't have a good night, you know, that correlates. Here I go again. That goes back onto my sponsors.
Absolutely.
Even me, and so I just try to represent them in the greatest form. I try to be the best that I can be each and every time because I want you to walk away from the show having a good memory of the show, having a memory.
I hear you, bro. Fly. You got no problems with me.
Nah, we're good, bro. But
yeah, we correlate beautifully together.
Correlate, Vinny.
Oh, here we go. It's
beautifully. Beautifully.
You know, on a serious note, Vinny, you truly are one of the people that I looked up to in the sport and still do. Having you on my show and getting to know you, I respect you even that much more. You know, you
awesome.
Came on the show, you shared who you are, the real you. And that's what life's about. You know, I think it's...
You know what the sad thing about that is, though?
Huh?
It's too bad that your show is only going to be heard by, like, about 13 or 14 people. You know, it'd be cool if it was heard by, you know, that's the sucky part about that.
No, it's not. Why do you say that?
Because you only have, I heard you only had, like, about between 10 and 15 listeners.
I have 300,000 plus listeners.
Oh, relax, tough guy. I was making a joke. Relax. Holy shit. Boy, you can't bust this guy's balls too much. Holy mackerel. He's ready to fucking choke me out.
Oh, no. I love you to death, man. I got a sense of humor. Y'all are making me look bad. Oh,
shit. You're going to love him, man. Like that guy at the bar. My goodness.
Oh, God, here we go. You know,
wait a minute. What did you just say?
I said you're gonna have to treat Don like that guy at the bar.
Oh.
When I ate the check.
Right. Keep buying him beers to keep him happy.
That was a good one, Barry. That's a good one.
Oh no, that's Leon Spinks, bro. That's Leon Spinks. Leon's a good buddy of mine, man. I tell you what, you don't ever want to go drinking with Leon Spinks. I can tell you that much. He only drinks Cavassier, and he only orders doubles. So if you go out with him now, I haven't drank in 15 years, but if you go out with Leon Spinks and you offer to buy him a drink, be careful because I don't know how much Cavassier is for a double shot, but back when I used to pay
that's funny.
$15. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, bro.
That's funny.
I used to find guys to kind of pawn him off on because he would say, hey, Don, you want to go to this other place and drink? And I'd already been buying him drinks all afternoon, and I was like, man, I'm already a couple $100 down, and no.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But, see, that's why I don't start drinking till 10 at night. Like, you know, because I won't drink during the day. I just won't do it, you know? And I've been steadfast to that forever. My whole life I've been steadfast to that. Because believe me, I can drink. I can go and I can get pretty freaking stupid.
You know, Vinny, it truly was a great blessing for me to have you on the show tonight. I love your character. I love that you can bust my balls with Barry. You know, that's what life is about, having fun. And,
yes, sir.
You know, we truly had fun on tonight's show. It's going to go down as one of my favorite shows of all time. Because,
nice.
You know.
What would you, Don, like, what would you correlate this to, and what person would be, like, a super outstanding, you know, fabulous character that you had on your show? Who would you compare me to?
Nobody.
Good answer. You're good answer. You lie good. You're good.
I'm not lying, bro. I'll tell you what. You know what? I wouldn't let nobody bust my balls on my show, but you're the best man in the
Oh, yeah.
Going to have ammunition forever, but, you know, it's fine.
Get him, Barry. Get him.
I do.
This
every
will
day,
go down
man.
As
I
one
do
of my favorite
day.
Shows. I had a tremendous time with you, Chandler. You know.
All right, listen. There are girls out there for me to meet tonight. There are drinks to be drunk. So I gotta let you go.
Yeah, I'm trying to let
That's
you
nice.
Go. I'm gonna hand you the microphone. Since you busted my balls, I'm gonna hand you the microphone. If there's anything else you'd like to add to the show before we let
you're
you go,
you busted my balls. I would like to correlate your balls. All right. We will talk. I want to do the show again.
Yeah, most definitely. Anytime.
Yeah, call me back in 10 years.
Call you back in 10 years. Oh, I'm not going to send you a link now, bro. No, I will.
Okay.
I love you, brother.
All right. Peace and love, you guys.
All right,
man. Nice.
Man.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye, Don. Bye, Barry.
Bye, buddy.
Good night, man.
Oh, my God. That was going to be the most funny fucking interview we've ever done. I got my balls busted.
That'll teach you to use big words.
Well, you know, I apologize that I'm educated, you know. But when a 5-time world champion wants to bust your balls, what are you going to do? I mean, seriously, what are you going to do when a 5-time world champion wants to, you know, bust your balls when you're articulating something?
You get them busted.
Yeah, right? I mean, what am I going to say back? Go fuck yourself? I don't think that's going to happen. But you know what? It's funny because, you know, that's something that, you know, a lot of my listeners don't know, that me and Barry, we go back about 7-8 years. We used to do a show called Beyond the Ropes, and then we went to 5-Round Radio with it, and we had a really good friend named Troy McCall. And, you know, we always had good times. We always, there was certain words, because I would get nervous, you know, atrocity and things like that I would use back in the day. And, you know, we'd after each show, they would call, and they'd bust my balls for 2 or 3 hours in the middle of the night. And they would never let me forget that I use these certain words to kind of keep me on track. You know, one thing most people don't realize is live radio is hard to do. You know, I do my boxing shows with Barry, but I do my other shows by myself. You know, sometimes you got to find little aspects that help you come through with a statement or finish a phrase that you've created. And I find little unique ways, and you go back I was an engineer, so I always go back to my schooling and thoughts, and sometimes it comes out funny or misconstrued. And then you get guys like Barry and like Vinny Pazienza tonight on the show who, you know, Barry, I'll be quite honest with you. For him to say that, I died. You know, it killed me because I know what it's like to have fun, you know. And let's face it, you're talking about a guy from the East Coast that really, you know, has been in the grit and the grime of the sport. And so for me to come at him in that aspect, I should have worded it a little bit different. But it was fun overall. I enjoyed tonight's show, even though y'all just totally busted my balls on my language.
It happens, man. It happens. You gotta just roll with it. I mean,
I had no choice. I mean, he's a 5-time world champion, but it was funny. He had a blast doing it, but you know, we'll have him back on, and I'm sure my balls will get busted again. But I like the show overall. I mean, at the end, I mean, when I talked about the aspect of him not really giving himself credit for what he's done in the sport, and then that brought out the story about him not being in the Hall of Fame. You know, and different aspects, me and you together, we gel. And you bring the sport aspect, I still bring some of the sport aspect, but I like the fundamental aspects of life and digging deep into their thoughts. And, you know, I think with that, the way we do it, I think each and every time we have a tremendous show when we actually do get them on here, because you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. What were your takeaways from being able to talk with Vinny Paz and hearing him, you know, talk about the pain of not being in the Hall of Fame?
Fighters that probably feel the exact same way that he does. I mean, but some of them don't have the resume that he has. I mean, he fought everyone. I mean, his resume stacks up with anybody. And to keep him out of the Hall of Fame would be, in your words, quotations, an atrocity.
Yeah. You know, hey, I like the way I speak.
I
have no problem with it, but I'm sure, like I told him on the air, he gave you plenty of ammunition to keep it going for another 6 months. You know, it's been a long night. We had him on here for an hour and a half. I'm going to hand the mic to you, my brother. Anything you want to add or say, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I just want to thank Vinny for coming on, giving us that much of his time. Like you said, he's got women out there waiting, and we need to go out with him one night. You know, he's an awesome guy, very cool, very humble. I mean, for someone with those accomplishments, very humble guy, very fun to talk to and chat with. So, I mean, I look forward to having him back on. Sounded like he liked the show, so that's awesome, and look forward to having him back on.
Yeah, you know, I truly do too. And, you know, if you look back at the long list of world champions that we've had on the show, it's been humbling. It's been a tremendous road. You know, I look forward to these boxing episodes because it allows me to have a look back at my past, and it allows you to share the knowledge that you've ascertained over the years. I mean, I've never, and I'll say it each and every show, I've never met anybody like you that knows boxing like the back of your hand, and you truly do. I'm truly blessed to have you as a mutual host on my show. With that being said, I want to thank, you know, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez. Truly a tremendous aspect. If it wasn't for him, the show wouldn't exist. I want to thank the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie. I want to thank the legendary Jacob Stitch Duran and Juan Ramirez with Cutman for Hire. And last but not least, the greatest mouth guards in the business. You know, if you're a UFC, Bellator fighter, or just the average, any aspect of a fighter, reach out to BiteMeMouthGuards.com. Tremendous mouth guards, some of the best I've ever seen. I know several world champions that won't wear anything but them. You know, Barry, it's awesome to have someone like Jacob Stitch Duran back the show. It's even more, you know, awesome to have all the sponsors that we do. You know, getting these gentlemen on here to share who they are and what they're about in life is tremendous. And I just I get overwhelmed each and every time we do one, man, because it keeps going up a level. Vinny was our first really overspoken guest, but I can't wait to have him back on. You know, Barry, it was truly an honor to have you on tonight's show. To my listeners, thank you. To each and everybody, follow me on Facebook. Other than that, tremendous show, my brother. I'm looking forward to the next one.
No doubt, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, man. Appreciate my listeners. Have a good night. God bless. To my sponsors, once again, thank you. On that note, have a good night, and we'll see you next Thursday.
I don't want to talk no more. I'm tired of talking. Nothing works. Here we are sitting in this dark space again. We promise if we get here, babe.